Everyone to the Region 3 Planning and Policy Council meeting. It looks like we have quite a few attendees today, so that's great. Thank you for taking the time to join. My name is Kirby Fai. I'm from the department, and if you joined via WebEx, I'm logged in under Amy Holland, but it's really Kirby Fai. Just some housekeeping. Per Governor Lee's Executive Order 51, this meeting is being recorded for public view. It'll be available on the department website within the next day or two. If you have not muted your phone or muted your computer, please do so now. Please only unmute if you have a question or if you need to provide an update, because it gives a lot of feedback on our end. I'm going to go ahead and go through the attendance of the individuals that joined via the computer because I could see their names, and then we'll go through the individuals that called in. So again, like I said, my name is Kirby Fai with the department. We have Anna Bertano-Biggs, Avis Easley, Brad Franks, Burke Brewer, Connie Ramsey, Deanna King, Debbie Loudermilk, Donna Maddox, Gail Lodato. Let me see, I skipped over a name, I'm sorry. Jashari White, Johnny Payne, Kara Coleman, Kathy Melum, Knox Farmer, Kubra Orcal Bryant, Kurt Hipple, Rachel Gieringer, Rachel Hash, Rhonda Moore, Susan Green, Zach Blair, and we have one individual that called in. Who's the person, the individual on the call that you called via phone, joined via phone?
Eve Knight.
Pardon? Oh, Eve Knight? Is that correct? Is it Eve?
Yes, Eve Knight.
Hi, Eve. Okay, Deanna, I'll hand it over to you.
Hey, Deanna.
Welcome.
Deanna, sorry. This is Debbie Loudermilk with CADIS. I'm on audio now. I apologize.
Okay, sounds good. We can hear you.
Thank you. I can hear y'all now, which is even better.
Good. So we still have a couple people who aren't on mute, and they're providing some feedback. So if you guys can look over to your name, and it shows who's muted or not, please let us know. Yes, Eve Knight's on the phone. Okay, so we are going to call this meeting to order. It is 10:05. Kirby has already ran through introductions, and so what we will do is when we do provider community announcements, please introduce yourself then and who you're with. Otherwise, we will skip that. Rhonda sent out the approval or the minutes yesterday, and we need to get those approved. So if anybody has any feedback or changes they would like to make, please speak up. Otherwise, we need a first motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
This is Gail. Motion.
This is Kara. Second.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, we will move to the department report by Kirby.
Me again. I have a few updates to give you all. This first one, Deanna and Gail and Rhonda, you'll be getting an email from me soon, but I wanted to put it on the department update as well, just so we have it on your radar. The first update is to please identify your region's key accomplishments achieved and challenges faced from July 1, 2019 through June 30th, 2020, and your region's future plans. Each year, a joint annual report is produced and delivered to the governor and state legislature to show accomplishments, challenges, and plans for the future. The joint annual report is a collaborative effort between our department, the regional councils, and the statewide council. Please submit this information via email to me no later than September 18th. I know it's a couple months away, but it'll be here before you know it. I can't believe I'm already talking about the joint annual report. So just have it on your radar. Year two, fiscal year 2021 of the three-year plan is in progress. Regional councils will have an opportunity to review within the coming weeks. Development of the FY 2021 mental health block grant is underway. Statewide and regional councils will also have an opportunity to review this document soon. The 2020 legislative summary is in the final stages of completion. Once finalized, the summary will be posted on the department website, and I'll also share that link with you all via email. Zach Blair is going to go over some highlights of this legislative summary after my update. The department is receiving a $2 million federal grant to provide additional services in response to COVID-19 over the next 16 months. The funding will be used to bolster the state's existing crisis services continuum, behavioral health safety net, and substance abuse treatment and recovery services. The department's grant proposal included a comprehensive implementation approach, which includes five facets: assessment, capacity, planning, implementation, and evaluation. Services will be planned, developed, and delivered with a special focus on telehealth treatment to ensure statewide availability. The department is also receiving nearly a million dollars from the federal government to support the mental health needs of Tennesseans living through the COVID-19 pandemic. The grant for $966,380 is through FEMA Crisis Counseling and Training Program. The funding will provide outreach and support services in all 95 Tennessee counties. Department staff will be working with the community behavioral health agencies to deliver these services. Lastly, Tennessee's healthcare workers and first responders who are on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic response have a new resource to reach out to about feelings of stress, anxiety, sadness, or depression related to work. The COVID-19 emotional support line for healthcare workers is available to call at 888-642-7886. The support line is a collaborative project among the Mental Health Active Response Team, otherwise known as MHART, the Tennessee Association of Alcohol, Drug, and Other Addiction Services, otherwise known as TADIS, the National Association of Social Workers Tennessee Chapter, and the department. Specially trained mental health professionals who answer the calls through the line can provide emotional support through active listening, help callers identify and address basic needs, and provide reference tools for managing stress and making a plan for self-care. It is important to note the support line does not offer mental health treatment and is not intended to replace mental health crisis or suicide prevention services. That's what I have as far as my update from the department today. Rhonda, I'll send this to you electronically for your minute so you can just kind of copy and paste it in here, as I have some links in here for your council members.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great, thank you. And then Zach, do you mind giving us the legislative update?
Good morning, I'll be happy to. I told the regional council yesterday that my challenge is always to see if I can get through this before my dog starts barking outside the window. He enjoys doing that whenever a dog passes or someone's walking down the sidewalk. So I'll see if I can get through this before before something else gets his attention this morning. But I appreciate everyone being on the call today. As you probably know, the legislative session this year was very different because of COVID-19. The legislature started in January as usual, and in the middle of March, when everything began to shut down, the legislature passed a preliminary emergency budget and then adjourned in June 1. And typically at this point in the year, we would have the legislative summary published, but because of the legislature for a few months and then coming back on June 1st, the session didn't end until just a couple weeks ago, and we're still waiting for public chapters and and bills to be signed and published into law. So that's the biggest barrier to the legislative summary being published right now. But hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we will have that available to you. But I did pull a past bill report so I could kind of touch on some highlights that hopefully the group will find helpful and interesting as we go through it. And I'll be happy to answer any questions after that. The first bill that I'll touch on is Senate Bill 673, House Bill 787. And this was a bill that will require department training for the Department of Veterans Services, who deal directly with veterans. They'll undergo suicide prevention training. And obviously, I think everyone is aware that the issue with veteran suicide is one that's been very difficult over the last several years. And hopefully this training that the Department of Veterans Services will be equipped with will assist with helping veterans recognize those signs and deal with that issue. The other bill that I'd like to talk about, Senate Bill 1060, House Bill 656, and there were two bills that were very similar, but I'll go through each one. This first one deals with MAT at federally qualified health centers, FQHCs, and community mental health centers. This is an expansion of practice bill for nurse practitioners and physician assistants to be able to prescribe buprenorphine under certain limitations. Both of the bills that I'll mention on this subject do have requirements for supervision of physicians, of those practitioners, limits on how many practitioners that are able to be supervised and how many patients are allowed to be treated, and it requires the practitioner, the nurse practitioner, or the physician assistant to obtain a DEA federal data waiver and other requirements there. So again, this is for FQHCs and community mental health centers. And then there's another bill that passed later in the session that also allows, and this is Senate Bill 1938, House Bill 1980, that allows nurse practitioners and physician assistants to prescribe buprenorphine and OBOTs. And again, some similar limitations and similar supervision requirements. And this bill went a step further as well and required that OBOTs also take 10 care patients, accept new 10 care patients, and prohibits cash only at those licensed OBOTs. The only cash that is allowed to be used is for the purpose of paying a copay for insurance, but this will limit the cash only clinics throughout the state related to buprenorphine prescribing. So both of those bills passed during session, and those are big changes for the state of Tennessee because, again, expansion of practice has been something that has been discussed but hasn't been acted on in the last several years. So hopefully this will increase capacity throughout the state for those that are seeking medication-assisted therapy for the treatment of substance use disorder, and again, big changes in expansion of practice in those particular settings this year. Other bills that passed, Senate Bill 1655, House Bill 1733, that extended the Board of Social Work Licensure. If you're familiar with the government review law in Tennessee, all state agencies, boards, departments are up for review periodically and have to be extended by the legislature. So the Board of Social Work Licensure was extended until 2026. The Commission on Children and Youth through Senate Bill 1659, House Bill 1737 was extended till 2024. And just a preview for everyone going into this next year, the department sunset will be up this year. So we're hoping that the department will be extended for a number of years once that review happens during the fall with the Joint Government Operations Committee, and then there will be a bill related to that during the 2021 session. Senate Bill 2032, House Bill 2588 requires that parents that are interacting with the Department of Children's Services and have a parenting plan receive at least a 30-minute video training on adverse childhood experiences that's created by DCS in conjunction with Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth and the Building Strong Brains public awareness campaign. Other bills touch on Senate Bill 2183, House Bill 2250, the Kids Insurance Program until June 30th of 2025. Senate Bill 2184 and House Bill 2251 extends the Access Tennessee Health Insurance Program until June 30th, 2025. Senate Bill 2202, House Bill 2269 puts Tennessee's law into compliance with federal law and raises the minimum age of purchase of tobacco products from 18 years old to 21 years old. I'm not sure if a lot of folks are aware, but our substance abuse block grant funding is tied to the underage sale compliance rate of tobacco retailers, and we participate with the Department of Agriculture, who has enforcement authority over tobacco products. And so this was a change that the Department of Agriculture needed to continue their enforcement, and will continue to allow the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to participate in enforcement of the tobacco retailers' compliance. So that's something that is very important to continue to make sure that we're able to receive that federal funding and that we can continue to ensure that retailers throughout the state are complying with the minimum age requirement for tobacco sales. I'll touch on Senate Bill 2552, House Bill 2655. This requires the Department of Mental Health, the Division of Teen Care, and the Department of Health to collaborate to develop educational materials for both providers and facilities where MAT is prescribed. And this is specifically educational materials that practitioners can use to educate themselves and their patients about the concern of opioids and MAT when it comes to women of childbearing age and women who are pregnant or become pregnant, and make sure that they're aware of the risk of neonatal abstinence syndrome and steps that they can take to prevent that from happening. And one more, and I apologize, there's one more that I did want to touch on, Senate Joint Resolution 181 and House Joint Resolution 1. The first one recognizing the need for mental health parity in Tennessee. This is basically a policy statement by the legislature saying that prior authorization can be a difficulty when individuals need mental health treatment, and it encourages the federal government to recognize that the mental parity is important for citizens in Tennessee. And then House Joint Resolution 1, another resolution where the legislature has made a policy statement saying that teen suicide is a health crisis in Tennessee. And I think everyone's familiar that number of teens that are dying by suicide is increasing, and something that we received funding in our budget last year to begin a public awareness campaign about suicide prevention and mental health awareness. So again, the legislature has recognized that and made a policy statement to that effect. So those are the bills that I wanted to touch on this morning, and I'm happy to answer any questions I can about the legislative session. And I appreciate your time, and happy again to answer any questions that you might have.
Hey, Zach, Debbie Loudermilk had a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Deanna, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
We can.
Okay. Zach, this is Debbie with CADIS. The expansion of practice bill that you mentioned, when does that go in effect?
So the related to FQHCs and community mental health centers went into effect on July 1st. The other bill related to OBOTs has not yet been signed, but I will check real quick. I believe it becomes effective on becoming law, but I will check that really quickly for you and let you know.
Okay. And my second question, Zach, is if you are not one of those, you know, the FQHC or the Community Mental Health Center or an OBOT, what are the caveats for expansion of practice with those providers?
So there was no for providers outside of those two sets. The legislature would have to act on that again if there was further expansion of practice. But right now, the only expansion of practice are in those three particular settings, the community mental health centers, the federally qualified health centers, and the licensed OBOTs.
Okay. Thank you.
Related to OBOTs takes effect on August the 1st. And I just saw on the website it was signed by the governor yesterday, so it will go into effect on August the 1st. Again, that's the bill that allows expansion of practice for buprenorphine prescribing for OBOTs.
For OBOTs. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Zach.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Zach? It's
yes.
Kirby. Hey, I just got a message from Kubra in the chat feature, and her question is, what is the number of the joint resolution that covers the prior authorization regarding mental health parity? Did I read that correctly, Kubra?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
It is 6-1-1.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So thank you, Zach, for presenting that. We really appreciate it. If anybody has any questions, they can, and you didn't get them answered, please feel free to email me, and we will try to get those out to the group. As you guys remember, before we were dealing with COVID, we were going to break out into groups, but we are deferring that since we are virtual. And I do believe that at least adult and children's have met outside of this. So we're going to move now to the committee reports, and we're going to start with the adult committee. And Connie, go ahead. We can't hear you, Connie, if you're talking. I think you're on mute. There you go. Nope, you're on mute.
Okay.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The ginger dot plan is getting a whack-a-mole. I think about that every time I'm on a conference call. Whack-a-mole. Well, actually, Debbie and Don and I met, and what we are really needing is a list of people who wish to participate in the adult committee. We've had a hard time gathering people to meet and be interested. And I tried to reach out and didn't get any response. And so I would like for people to respond and let us know exactly, you know, that they want to participate so we can be sure we're including everybody that wants to be involved in our meeting. We finished up our needs assessment when we were supposed to. And I don't know, this is the first time I've given a report, so Debbie and Donna may have something to add to that. I'm new, I'm a greenhorn, so I'm working on it.
No, that's fine. Debbie or Donna, do you guys want to speak up about anything?
So this is Debbie. Donna's on too. So real quick, we did meet last Thursday, the co-chairs. And we would, as Connie said, Connie, you're doing a great job. Connie, what we're trying to do, she said, is spot on. We need an active email list, which is real critical now. I can set up a Zoom meeting. I have the capacity to do that, but I need to know who is interested in adult issues and wants to be on that committee. Last time we were face-to-face, we had several people in our section, and if you're interested in being on that adult subcommittee, if you will email Deanna, I guess. Deanna, can they email you, or who should they email? And then y'all can push it out to us. Okay, and I can set up a group, but we welcome any participation. Donna, anything from you?
No, I'll just say ditto to that. We didn't want to be presumptuous and try to remember all the faces that did gather around the table. We certainly could have seen some and know that many are on this call today. We want to be very inclusive of our region, to have everybody with issues related to adult services to be included. But it's, you know, and so we've got some players, but we need, you know, we want to be inclusive. So we had talked about trying to get this done sooner than later, and that's what Connie had led us in. She did a great job, but to try to get us together. And so we attempted to get a message out to everybody, and that didn't work. And so we went ahead and met, and of course we got to do a little bit of a catch up, but need it from everybody. And so we'd like to meet, have a Zoom meeting within the next 2 weeks. Then we could even have one and then another month or something like that. So if you could get your contact information or just express your interest, make sure that we have your current contact information. We will take it from there.
Great. Thanks, ladies.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Just in the chat feature, it looks like there's several individuals that have reached out expressing interest for the adult committee. And they've included their email address. So if anyone on the adult committee would just take a look at the chat feature box, you can find some email addresses in there. Sorry. No, that's fine. Thank you.
Hey, this is Kara. And I also can send an email to Deanna, too, just to have it all in one place. I just wanted to make sure that y'all know that I would definitely love to be involved with the adult committee.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Okay, let's go to Rachel. She is going to present for the Child and Adolescent Committee.
Yes, and hopefully I do an okay job with this because Amy is leading this and doing an amazing job, but she's not able to be here today. So I would kind of echo what the adult committee said. I think that we need more voices and we need more participants. We had a pretty good group this last meeting that we had, this virtual meeting. But we would love to have more people involved. What we really did during this meeting was we looked at the needs assessment and looked at mental health and substance abuse needs. And really what we're trying to work on is we kind of anecdotally as organizations see things that we believe are needs, whether it's related to mental health or substance abuse. Services for children. And we really feel like there's a lack of data to support those needs and really to figure out, okay, is this something that we're seeing or is data, you know, backing this up? So we really talked about some points that we want to gather data on, work that we want to do just to research to see if any of these things already exist and if we just don't know about them. I think that that's really a big issue that we have, not just in this region, but everywhere. Are there resources that are existing and we just, you know, we're not aware of them? If we're not aware of them, you know, they don't exist for us. So talking about gathering data to then hopefully kind of have an ongoing conversation about what the data is showing us as far as needs in our region. I don't know if anyone else on the call wants to add to that. That's kind of what I felt like was the synopsis of our meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Nicole on. Yes, she is.
I'm here.
Nicole, do you want to give us an update on the legislative committee?
Certainly, I can do that. So first of all, good morning, everybody. What I would say is, first of all, our discussions that we've had has been similar to what Rachel has just discussed.
Our group has not met recently, but in the meeting that we did have, again, it was shared anecdotally what we thought the issues were, but the lack of true data seems to be, I would say, a relevant conversation, because it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to assess where we need to focus all of our efforts, either from a child and adolescent or an adult programmatic perspective, if we really don't have data to support the conversation. And so the same conversation came up within our legislative committee about, you know, surrounding data, surrounding crisis calls, and just the services utilization, and just that type of conversation is what occurred. I would also echo that we need everybody to participate. Once we have the needs assessment kind of, you know, finalized, and if we can get some data to discuss, then we need a good solid group to continue the conversation.
Thank you, Nicole. I want to reiterate just the purpose of this meeting, in that the subcommittees are almost more important than this meeting itself, because in the subcommittees, you guys are collaborating together with your respective groups, adult, child, legislative, and there you should be making major announcements, working on the needs assessment, and then reporting to this group together. And so I just want to reiterate that if you're a part of this group, the big group, you really need to be finding a subcommittee group to meet with outside of this call. Gail, is there anything that you want to add to that?
No, you probably, I don't know if you can see me, but I'm saying good job. Yes, exactly. I'm nodding my head. And I think, you know, this is a shift for this region, this committee, because I've been in Chattanooga and part of Region 3 for 7 years. And this is the first time we're really trying to push to get it functioning the way that it's intended to do. So, and I know nobody, you know, I guess nobody wants another meeting. it's hard enough as it is for us to all get on the ones that we already do. But in order for us to really make an impact and to see change in our region, this is what needs to happen. Otherwise, none of our needs assessments, when we go to the larger, you know, when we get with everyone from the state, we don't have the data we need. We don't have the research done and the push behind it that gets us anywhere. And that wasn't well said. It's been a really rough week. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Gail. Okay, so we're going to move to provider major announcements. And if you have a long list of things that need to be discussed, please send to me and Rhonda and Gail. We don't have a ton of people on this call, but is there anyone here for the hospital?
So this is Eve with Erlanger Behavioral Health Hospital.
Hi, Eve. Go ahead.
Hey. So, we're pretty much just operating at pre-COVID capacity. We've got all four units open, and I can say that while we've not necessarily had an increase in referrals past what is normal, we've definitely had an increase in acuity on all of our units, from adolescent to adult to geriatric. So we're seeing quite a bit of people go into crisis, quite a bit of people that need help and stabilization. Through our hospital, we're also offering virtual IOP, and that's been received really, really well. We've had, you know, great success and turnout from people that are attending our virtual IOP, and we are still doing inpatient and outpatient ECT. And so that is also a really good option for people that are struggling to have any sort of efficacy when it comes to traditional pharmaceutical treatment. I think that's all that we have for our hospital update.
Okay, any major mental health announcements?
I'll go ahead and share something real quick. This is Johnny Payne. I'm with Orange Grove Center as our mental health director. And so, you know, working to address mental health challenges in the IDD population. There is a training that I went ahead and shared with our administrators that they may send out, some of our chair or vice chair, about a START training. START is a model of assessment and treatment for individuals with disabilities who are experiencing a behavioral and mental health crisis. And so that training is coming up here this next month, and it's just an overview of that program and sort of best practices in addressing mental health behavioral concerns with an IDD population. And that training is free $99 for anyone who would like to participate. So I've gone ahead and shared that, but just so everyone's got it, the dates for that are going to be, let me get it pulled up here. This next month in August is going to be August 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. each day. And it'll be free. So happy to answer more questions about that in chat if you would like.
Yeah, Johnny, can you put that information in chat with, is it a virtual learning or whatever information you can put on there would be great.
You got it. I'll put it all in the chat.
Hi, Gail.
Yes.
It's Kirby. Johnny also sent me an email that I could share with you all, too, that you could share with your council members before the meeting.
Oh, okay, great.
But I'll cover all the bases. I'll throw it in there, too. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. Debbie, do you want to go ahead here?
Yes, thanks, Deanna. Hey, this is Debbie from CADIS again. So a couple of things real quick. Biggest news, I guess, I have two pieces of big news. First is that we opened our detox unit this week. Y'all have heard me talk a lot about that. So in the midst of the pandemic and everything else, we were able to get the facility licensed. We are now at 24 detox beds. It's a beautiful unit. Wish it was a different time and I could have you all here. And so it is open at capacity, and we are real excited that that is going to be part of our footprint now in the community. We still have our 56 residential adult beds. We added the 24 adult detox, so we have an 80-bed capacity now on this campus for adults. We still have our adolescent facility, and our outpatient groups are all virtual, including MAT. MAT has a lot more face time here with us because of the complexities of that program. But we do have all of our programs going virtual. So anyway, the second announcement I would like to make is that CADIS has been we're very grateful and very excited that we were able to recruit a marketing director for our organization. So I would like to introduce to this committee Knox Farmer, who is on the call with us here from CADIS. Some of you know Mark Knox. I see Gail nodding her head. So a lot of you guys know Knox, so we're real excited that we were able to recruit him as our marketing director, and we look forward to having him here. So there's Knox. Hey, there's a big picture of Knox right now. So
hello, everybody.
Anyway, you guys, welcome Knox, please, and that's all I've got for CADIS. He'll have a lot more to say, I'm sure, eventually. We are going to do a virtual rollout of our detox, but Knox, I'll let you say hi real quick, and that's all I've got.
Thanks, Debbie. Thank y'all for having me in the meeting. A lot of you all I have worked with and know and enjoy seeing around the community. This is actually my first weekend, so I'm getting my bearings. And just to echo what Debbie said about the new detox unit, we'll have some things coming down the pipeline so that people can see that, whether it's virtually or later down the road, maybe do some small tours or something, depending on how the environment goes. But thank you all for having me, and look forward to you know, getting to work on some of the subcommittees and working with you all. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Okay, any other announcements for hospital or mental health?
Could I go real quick?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I talk over. Nicole, I'm sorry. I'll be very quick. So, Gail from Helen Ross McNabb, I just wanted to share that we had our ribbon cutting yesterday for our therapeutic preschool. So this serves children ages 4 to 6 who have endured a trauma, and the trauma can be defined very broadly. Referrals, with insurance is not a requirement. It doesn't matter what that is. And referrals can just come to McNabb at 423-266-6751. I can also send some information so that it can get in the minutes. And then the other thing I want to share real quickly, that I'll have to have more information to come, but hopefully we can help this community, is McNabb, as well as a number of agencies statewide, have been identified by the department to utilize some FEMA funds that were awarded to the department to help people during this COVID pandemic. And so we'll be helping with a lot of basic needs, and I'll have an 800 number that I will make sure gets shared very soon. We're getting it set up, and we'll be able to help support people and provide some basic needs for them. And I know you'll hear from other agencies that across the state that they have this funding as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Nicole?
So I'm excited. I have a couple of things to announce as well. I'm excited mostly to announce the implementation of our ACT team in collaboration with Hamilton County and the FUSE initiative. We are beginning as of August 1st, which is very soon. we're going to begin our ACT program, and that is just super exciting for us. Of course, just for those that may not know, that's assertive community treatment. It's an intensive model where we work closely with severe and persistent mental ill, who are also frequent utilizers of services. So those that are in and out of our hospitals, those that are in and out of our jails, and those are the folks that we'll be targeting. I'm also excited to announce that Sam Wolf has joined our team as the supervisor for that ACT team. Super happy to have him on board. I'll have him come to the next meeting so that he can introduce himself in that capacity. He's actually in Nashville this week. And then in addition to that, I also have a new program manager who has replaced Johnny Combs. So a lot of you remember Johnny. And his name is Mark Miller, and he is coming to us from another mental health agency. So we're excited to have him on board as well, and I'll also invite him to the next meeting. But referrals, those of you that may have referrals for the ACT team, more information to come. We'll be sharing how to get those referrals over. If you have any questions, reach out to me, and we'll get you taken care of. Thanks.
Thanks, Nicole. Okay, we're going to move to our Consumer Advisory Board.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Colleen Ramsey. We have been meeting by phone, of course, and we're still planning to have our Certified Peer Recovery Specialist Conference October the 8th and 9th, but it'll be a little different because we're going to be doing it by Zoom. And so we're going to have workshops. People will be able to sign up for the individual workshops if they want to attend. We're really trying to just pull it together to figure out how to do this because we've not ever been virtual before. It's really exciting to me that peer support services are still being provided via secured websites for group meetings. I know that at the Peer Support Center I manage, we're still taking referrals, from, you know, and then we're adding them to our call list, and we're calling to our members every day. So if you have a peer support center near you, don't think that just because COVID happened and we can't get together that we're not providing services, because we're providing probably more services than we give face-to-face. It's just a little bit more difficult. And I think that's for most everybody across the state. Some places have not been able to do that, but I know that anywhere that volunteer is, we're doing that. And so, you know, always just check and see. But we consumers are working hard to take care of each other. And so we've got that conference coming up, though, October the 8th and 9th. Registration will be on Eventbrite, just like always. And so we have Brad Schmidt that is going to be our keynote speaker. And so that's about all I have.
Great. Thank you, Connie, so much. Any announcements from United Healthcare, Blue Care, or TennCare Select?
Yes, hi. This is Carl Bryant with United Healthcare Community Plan. I sent you a few notes. I just emailed them. We United Healthcare Community Plan has been working on several points in the community, especially with this COVID-19. The top one, of course, is the expansion of telehealth following TennCare guidance. TennCare sets the rules, and we strictly follow their rules, but we have expanded telehealth. And also increased support to providers needing to transition between patients between levels of care. Also, we have targeted efforts on food deserts in Tennessee with UHC food box delivery. We've been holding weekly leadership calls with provider relationship leadership, TAMHO, the department, and TennCare to address COVID response, care barriers, and methods for ensuring access to care. That's all from United Healthcare.
Thank you so much. Blue Care, TennCare Select. Okay, any other announcements or anybody that we may have missed that needs a few minutes, please go ahead.
Deanna, this is Rhonda.
Oh, hey, Rhonda.
Hey, I forgot, I had it in the on the agenda and somehow I lost it yesterday and everything I was doing. But we need to remind everybody again about the need for applications for membership and really stress that we need consumers and family members. So for everyone who sent me their application, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you did not and you want to be officially a member of Region 3, I need those sent to me. I can resend the application if anybody needs it. But really, if you are a family member or a consumer, we really need you to mark that on the application because we need to get our representation up.
Thank you. So major takeaways from today, we need applications for membership applications, and then we really need everyone to participate in the subcommittees. So if we could be doing that over the next couple of months, then we can have a really good report next week, next quarter. Anything else that I have missed from the department or anybody, any last minute things before we adjourn?
Hey, this is Kathy Milam with NAMI Chattanooga.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to talk about some of the services that NAMI can provide at this time. We have a virtual Zoom family support group every once a month, and you can call in to get a pre-screen for that. And we also are teaching virtually our family-to-family education course. Unfortunately, right now, our class has filled up, but I am taking names for another class. So everything NAMI does is peer-to-peer, and everything we do is free. So thank you.
Great.
Hey, real quick, Kathy, what time is that family support group?
It's at 6 o'clock on the second Monday of the month.
Okay.
And
hey,
everyone,
Deanna,
this is, yes.
Go ahead. This is Kurt with the department. I mentioned this in the chat, but thought it'd be good just to get over audio as well. There have been a couple of mentions of the need for data, and wanted to let everyone know that a few of the department's data dashboards have been updated recently, including the crisis services dashboard, which now includes FY19 data, which is, according to our director of research, the most recent data that we have at this point. We're currently collecting 2020 data, FY20 data, but right now we have the FY19, and it's out there for the crisis services, as well as a few other dashboards. I believe the Behavioral Health Safety Net dashboard has been updated, and maybe even a few more.
This is Rachel with TSPN. Can you share where that is? I have a hard time finding stuff sometimes on the department's website. I don't know if other people have that question.
We've heard that before, and we're locked into a certain type of format with the website, so apologize for that. But our director of communications and his assistant director have done a really good job, I think, of trying to streamline those things. If you go to the research tab, or put Office of Research or research into, or even data into the search bar, you should be able to find it through that. But what I'll do is I'll ask Kirby to find a path link, a link path for y'all, and send that to y'all so that you'll know how to get to the dashboards themselves.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, it can be a little bit of a pain. But thanks for letting me give that update, and thank you all for being so collaborative and supportive during this time. Y'all are really making a huge difference, and I know it's difficult, but y'all are always put the service recipients first, and really appreciate all that.
Thanks, Kurt. The next meeting will be October 15, and we will continue to keep you guys updated on if it's going to be face-to-face or virtual. So please be keeping an eye out for emails from Rhonda related to that. If you want the most accurate version of your announcement or your subcommittee report, please email Rhonda so that she can get that into the minutes as accurately as possible. I thank you guys, I thank everyone for joining us today, and I hope you all have a great week, and we will talk or see you in October.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.